Let's pray together. Gracious God, we look to you, for you alone can guide us into the truth and the power of your word. Bless us now as we gather to hear once again what you have to say. Speak to our hearts through Christ our Lord. Amen. So is there anyone in this room who has recently had tears in their eyes? I know you'd probably never know it by looking at our Sunday morning faces. Usually they're filled with smiles. But for any number of reasons, there are some here who have cried this week. Raw grief. Bitter resentment. Hurt feelings. The ache of longing. The pain of empathy for somebody else who's hurting deeply. What was it for you? You know, we do most of this in private. You don't show me much of yours, and I don't show you much of mine. Our tears are mostly secret. But I hope that's not the case in church. I mean, at least I hope that because you're surrounded by people who love you and care for you, that you feel like it's okay to cry. Because it is. In real church, I hope we practice not hiding. Not hiding from each other. Not hiding from pain. Our own pain. The pain of the world. Not hiding from our sins. Not hiding from the unbearable beauty of God's love and the high claim that that love has on us. Not hiding from the promise of gladness. In church, we don't hide. We don't have to. And we don't need to hide our crying. In real church, we're open to it all. And so we pray, we make music and the music of the heart. We laugh and we cry and we celebrate and we weep with each other. Because that's what we do. And it's okay here. And we give and we embrace. And we're just ourselves. Right? And we cry. You know, maybe this is a measure that in fact we're made in the image of God. I sort of think it is. Does any other creature express emotion by weeping? Sorrow. Other animals may grieve and posture or make mournful sounds, and sometimes they show dissipation of appetite or of energy, and humans do this too. But there's this other thing, and has it ever occurred to you how strange it is that we show emotion by water leaking from our eyes and running down our face? We're the only ones. And have you ever thought about that? Sorrow for us becomes fluid. How strange. Why? It's as if human beings' feelings are so powerful that they require literally an overflow. A valve for the overflowing. And we hurt so deeply that we can't help but to express that hurt in tears running down our face. And our capacity for utter it streams out of our eyes, chokes our voices, convulses our bodies. Does it mark a kinship with God? I think so. I really do think it does. Because God is love. And I'll just tell you, how can there be great love without great pain? If love is infinite, how vast must be God's reach of pain? God is grieved by the ruin of creation. God is anguished over our atrocities. God mourns the desecrations of love, and there is suffering, and God suffers along with us. If you prefer your deities aloof, serene, supremely rational, then you don't want anything to do with the biblical God. Who mourns and rages and yearns and suffers and bears hurtfully all this waste and all this wrong. If the divine being is portrayed in the Bible like this and by Jesus like this, as a God of vulnerability and a pathos of love, then don't you think our weeping is sacred too? I think God is weeping too through countless human eyes. But not forever. Scripture is adamant that the number of tears to be shed is finite. Weeping will come to a stop. Music won't come to a stop, by the way. Music will continue in heaven. But in heaven, no more tears. No more weeping. Weeping will come to a stop. The most vivid of these comes in the book of Revelation. There's a vision of the throne of God, and around the throne there's a multitude of people, and nobody can number them because they come from every tribe and from every people, and they're infinite. And what are they doing? Well, they're singing. They're singing to God. Isn't that beautiful? And there are angels and elders and four creatures singing all around the throne. And in the last vision, in the last line, something very beautiful happens. From the throne emerges the hand of God. The hand of God. Now, how would you imagine that? It's a vision, so you can imagine it. What's the hand of God doing when it emerges from the throne? What do you think? What's it look like? Think it's an elderly hand? Maybe a child's hand. Maybe a hand that's ruined from holding all the pain of the world. What color would you imagine God's hand to be? And most of all, what does this hand emerging from the throne do? Does it rise to bless? Does it open up and welcome? Does it point as if speaking? What does the hand do? None of those things, says John. The hand extends from the throne. To do what perhaps you have done yourself. Wipe away the tears. The hand of God wiping away the tears. How beautiful is that? And what does it mean? I think it means we'll be done with every kind of separation there. And that's what all the weeping is about, isn't it? It's about separation, deep separation, all this pulling apart that draws human tears. Death separating us from those we love. Failures that cut off our hopes, and circumstances that rip away our dreams. Sin separating us from each other. We're all exiled from our truest home. We're all exiled from ourselves, and there's so much separation and so much pain. And this is a relational reality too, folks. Parents, children, marriages, friendships, terrible chasms between them, and so many tears. And so evident in our world. Racially, economically, so much separation. So many tears. Here's a definition of injustice, if you'd like one. People kept separately from what is rightfully theirs. That's unjust. It's no wonder the earth runs deep with tears. So when Scripture starts to sing of the day when God will wipe away every tear, He points us to the hope in this one who is going to reconcile all that, and who is painfully separating right now from us, but one day we'll be joined. Listen to the promise. Hold on to it for dear life. Death will be no more. Grieving no more. Crying, pain no more. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Your eyes. To know this is God's dream. This is God's dream. This is God's vision. That all tears be wiped away, among other things, is to know that our calling is to help to make that happen. If this is God's vision, if this is God's dream, that all separation be taken away, that all pain be gone, then we do what we can in order to bring people together, to reconcile, to alleviate pain. We do what we can to stop suffering. We do our part. Right? Every reconciliation that we can help to make or move to accomplish between rich and poor, between old and young, between women and men, neighbor and neighbor, between all of us who somehow have left each other, between ourselves and God from whom we have fled, reconcile. To allow ourselves for all that has been broken to be touched by the hand and the love and the healing of God. This is the whole intention of God in Christ within us, between us, to move us toward this wholeness. That's why it's right, I think, until the day comes that we grieve rightly for all that is still so far from being healed. God cannot wipe away our tears yet because God is still weeping. And we too should look around us. Look within us. Find reasons rightly and honestly for mourning. Gustavus Gutierrez says, "Woe to those whom the Lord finds dry-eyed because they did not bring themselves into solidarity with the poor and the suffering of this world." So we put our present sadness, put our present rage to a purpose. And we join the longing of God. And we join with our own passion, with God's passion. And we condense tears into prayers and deeds and choices and signs of hope. And our tears become action so that lives can be changed and transformed and be made better. Because we know that that's what God wants. Let's hasten the day when it will all be tearless. In Montgomery, Alabama, there's outside the Poverty Law Center a civil rights memorial. Perhaps some of you have been there. It was designed by Maya Lin. She is the same person that designed the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. Anybody seen that? The civil rights memorial is a huge circular tablet of black granite, very similar to the black granite in the Vietnam Memorial. And into the upper surface of this round stone are carved the dates and the places and the names that define the civil rights movement. The names of many who were murdered are inscribed on this tablet, and on the wall above the stone are these words from the prophet Amos: until justice rolls down like water, righteousness like a mighty stream, sweeping across the stone surface is a sheet of moving water. It's beautiful. It's constantly moving across this black granite and these places and these names. And you can hear the water running always. On the day the memorial opened, one of the people present was the mother of Emmett Till, 14-year-old boy from Chicago who was brutally murdered in Mississippi. The men who beat him to death threw his body in the river. His mother was there, and through the moving water, she reached down and with her own hand she touched her son's name. And then she fell to weeping. Maya Lin was there too. And this grieving mother's tears began to flow with the water across the black granite. She said, that's what they are, their tears. All flowing. God's dream is that the water of our tears will flow across the hard stone of history. Those tears will change and shape everything just as they change and shape the stone that the water flows through. The mighty stream carries the tears of countless people, yours and the tears of the world, and the love of God, mightier than all sorrow, mightier than death, washing away all separation, healed at last. There's an ancient Jewish legend that says in heaven there's an angel who holds a great vessel, and in that vessel are all the tears from all the world. When that vessel is full, the Messiah will come. So God be in our tears, in our longings, in our labor, until that day when we cry no more. When it comes, it will be the sacrament of tears completed at last. Christ will lift high according to the story and change it to wine. And there will be great celebration. From the one who wipes away every tear. Anybody here cry lately? Yeah. Well, there's one who reaches down and wipes them from your eyes.
Let's pray.
Oh God, we come before you, Lord, and we pray that in our pain and in our sorrow we might find comfort and hope in you. And we praise you and thank you, God, that you call us into that place where you can touch us and comfort us as no other. And we pray that our passion and our love for others may come to tears that will move us away from ourselves and into their lives to become an instrument of your love in the world. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.